This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining the IDN Implementation Guidelines Working Group on the 5th of April 2018. In the call, we have Matt, Satish, Dennis, Edmund, Samad, and Pitinan. Over to you, Matt.
Thank you. So we have two things to look at. We have the final staff report for IDN guidelines, and we have the IDN guidelines update. So Dennis has proposed some updates. So we should look at that. So let's start with the staff report, because that is due first.
Matt, this is Sarmad.
Yes.
The staff report actually was finalized and published.
Okay, it is published. Okay, yes.
Yes, it is, because we decided last time that I'll introduce the changes agreed, and I'll make a last call and then publish, because it was due on 30th of March, and I did that then published it.
Okay, then I misunderstood. I got the impression from the email that you sent out that it was not published, but then I misunderstood. Okay. So the situation is then that we have a report 30th of March that Samad sent out. Published date, it says 30th of March, right. So from that, we have to do some updates in the guidelines, and Dennis has proposed some updates, and that has been sent out on the mailing list, and maybe we should look at those changes. Okay, Sarmad dropped off again. So, have you all draft updated by Dennis that was sent to the mailing list in front of you? We cannot share anything. So it was sent out yesterday. Edmund, Satish? Do you have that in front of you?
I'm just opening it in a moment. I am looking at it. This is Edmund. I'm looking at it. I have to admit I haven't looked at it in depth, but perhaps it might be useful to walk through first update.
I think
from
that
Samad,
we should.
And then, and then the updates from Dennis in line.
But the version that Sarmad sent out is without any red line, so there we cannot see what has been updated. Or
so this is
yes, please, Samad.
Yes, I actually just circulated the version which we circulated for second public comment, so I actually not made any changes.
Okay. So what we have is the version updated with Dennis, and there we can see the updates as traces. if you have turned that on. So let's look at that. On the first page, there is an explicit declaration of when these guidelines are effective. Is this a good way of writing this?
This is Sarmad. I'd like to get in the queue.
Yes, please, Sarmad.
So I think my initial suggestion would be that we, instead of having two conditions, we just reduce it to one condition. So let the default run its own course, which is whenever this becomes approved by the board and goes into effect, everybody gets 6 months after that. That's like a given. There's an agreement already in place, and it will just follow through with that process. So I think perhaps guideline A is not needed. And one reason to avoid that is because if there is, for some reason, any delay in approval, then 1st February 2019 does not remain applicable. It may actually get bumped to August of 2019. So in any case, I think there's a given procedure for to handle case A, and we could default to that. The minimum would be what it stated, but it could go further beyond, depending on how things fall into place. For B, then I think it may actually be useful to give a delta rather than actual date, so that whenever these guidelines become applicable, that delta is applied and we can calculate when the specific subset of guidelines which need more time should become applicable. So that was my initial suggestion for your consideration. Thank you.
Yes, this is Mats, for the record. I think this is a good suggestion, but I'm thinking it should the text rather say that these guidelines 6A, 11, et cetera, are only recommendations until this effective date. So they're still there, but it should be considered to be recommendations rather than musts.
This is Edmund, if I can jump in.
Yes.
Yeah, so two things. One, first of all, I think Samad's suggestions are good. In fact, I guess adding on to that, rather than listing out two lists, it should be one list for the Feb 2020 or 18 months, whatever that is, and then all others, that's kind of default. I guess Samad was suggesting kind of the same, but instead of listing it all, it's actually more confusing if you list everything because the reader might not immediately know whether it is everything. So that is a suggestion. In response to Matt's your question, I don't think we need to do that. I think before the effective date, this will be published anyway. And, people can act on it however they want. Is that the way? I guess I would like to ask Samad, as we send it to the board, it will effectively become a public document anyway, and then the board will take on it, and whenever the board makes a decision, that's when... unless the board comes out and say, "Hey, no, wait a minute," and you go back and do some more work, right? Is that the case? If it's all already published and public, I don't think we need to add another thing that says, "Hey, before the effective dates, you
you should still look at this?
Well, my idea is to put some emphasis that it's still important recommendations. I mean, we have recommendations, things that are encouraged in other places. We still think it's important to have encouraged. And instead of saying that these are gone until February 1st, 2020, we say that consider these to be recommendation only until that date. And from that date, they are musts. Well, actually, 19 is a encouragement from the start, so I don't know if it's really needed to be there.
This is Edmund. I'll jump in. I guess we can come back to the exact numbers as we, you know, once we finalize all the text. But the essence, like, I guess the suggestion, Mats, from you, I wonder if that can be achieved from the posting. I wonder, Samad could enlighten us on how this would be posted as we send it to the board. And perhaps in the write-up for the posting, we can say, hey, this is going to the board, and, you know, all of the recommendations, we kind of encourage registries to review them, and we think they are good, or you know, something along those lines, and rather than, you know, bake it into this document itself. Would that achieve what you are interested in, Mats, and is that possible, Samad?
What do you mean that this text, which is now in 1.3, should be external to the document instead? I think
that is
a possibility. Instead of having it in document, it could be out of the document. I think that Samad proposed that as an alternative. Because in the there, it says that this document is effective from whatever date it is, except for that these recommendations are then only effective, contractually effective from another date.
Edmund jumping in, but still interested to, hoping Samad can jump
yes.
in further. I don't have a strong opinion on this, actually. I'd like to hear what Samad suggests, and then hopefully when Dennis can get on, his thoughts as well, because this is his suggestion.
Yeah. So Samad, please.
Okay. So I think it can be done both ways. This is the first time we're doing this, so there's no really precedence on what is the better way of doing it. I am actually happy to take it forward, whichever way I guess you all feel comfortable with, but it should be possible in both ways.
Yeah. I think the pro of having it external is that beyond the date when things get effective, you don't have to think about that date anymore. So I think that would be a pro of having external. And I still think that 19 should be excluded from the list, because that is not a must. There's no reason why this is just an encouragement in 19. And I think it's better to keep the list of exceptions or as small as possible. And I see no reason why 19 should be included.
Samad, I'd like to come in with you.
Yes, please.
After Samad, I'd like to come with you. This is Dennis.
Dennis came in before me, so I'll go after you, Dennis. Please go ahead.
Dennis, please.
Thank you, Sama. Dennis, for the record. So, so allow me just a minute to explain myself as to why I incorporated a new section 1.3 effective date. So, as I was reviewing the document on section 2.8 additional notes, we have subsection 1, capital I, Roman I. So we call out a guidance for guidance 6A that ratios may take 18 months. So that triggered me. Why are we calling out one when we really intend to provide a delay effectiveness to a number of guidance, right, in these documents? So then, my thinking was maybe what we need to do is to include a section of effective days and maybe this is not the best way, the way I put it, right? Now that I see that it's a little bit, you know, too much, perhaps, and there's a better way to draft it. And I'm also not as feel strongly that we include this in this document or we put it in a different release note or notification from the item board how these guidelines should be enforced. So that was just the rationale behind including a new section in here with effective date as opposed to just calling out in one. But again, I don't think it's strongly. I think one thing, right? I think we need to make clear what becomes effective and when, whether that's in the document itself or in the release notification to the community is, I think we can debate which one is the best way to do it.
Ms. Edmund, if I can jump in.
No, Samad is before.
Okay,
Samad, please. Yes.
Sure. So I was actually just going to add that one mechanism would be that the IDN Guidelines Working Group adds some of these details to the cover note, a separate cover letter to ICANN.org along with this, along with these guidelines. The reason I say that is because over the last couple of, over the last discussions, there are a couple of other things which IDN Guidelines Working Group also wants to communicate back to ICANN.org. If you recall, there was a comment on the scope where we actually said within the Guidelines Working Group that the comment raised by Nick Chilly was out of scope of the guidelines, and then there was another comment on, so that is fine, but then how do we address that issue? And in the public comment section, we've actually suggested, the IDN Guidelines Working Group has suggested that they'll pass on that comment to ICANN.org to address. So it's not just this, but there are other things which need to be passed on to ICANN.org for addressing. So those could potentially be lumped together into a cover note which can go along with these guidelines to ICANN.org. So that is another option to consider. Thank you.
Okay. Edmund, please, and then I put myself.
Thank you. I think what Sama just suggested is a good place to add it, but I think on top of that, when we publish the note to on the website, should also include the effective dates. And hearing from what Dennis said, I guess I have a slight preference to not include the effective dates in this document in case we have like a version 4.1 where we need to make some changes to, one or two of the places, and, then it would be much more clear to put the effective dates, outside of the document. So that's that would be my suggestion.
Yes, I put myself in the queue. I suggest that we move 19 from the list. I also, I think I support the idea of having external, and also that 19 should be removed from the list. Can anyone argue why 19 should be included?
Mrs. Ahmed, I'd like to get you the queue. I'll go after Dennis.
I think Dennis was first.
Yeah,
and then on the queue as well.
Yeah, so I think on this item on 19, whether it should be in the section or not, I don't feel strongly. Like Matt, you have a good point. It's an encouragement to adopt, so really not a obligation upon registry operators. So if we keep it out, that's fine.
And then Sarmad.
So I was actually going to point out to a discussion last time on this particular topic, and there was, there was some discussion that even if it is encouraged and not required, there is still adoption time which is needed for those which would like to take this on. Those registries which would like to take this on, and that adoption time, updating their internal documents and so on, may take time, and that is why the registry, perhaps registry stakeholder group, has suggested this. I think if we include this in the list, I think we more comprehensively support their argument. That's one thing. The other thing is that based on that discussion last time, we'd also committed that we will include this in this list in our public feedback document, which is now posted. Thank you.
Edmund, and then myself.
Yeah, I don't feel strongly about this. However, I actually feel more strongly about maybe ICANN and further work take on this than registries. Although I know it's not, you know, the IDN guidelines are not quite for ICANN to quote unquote follow. But I kind of would defer to Dennis and Natal on whether we're comfortable to take away 19. So I'm slightly inclined to Matt's your suggestion, but I don't feel strongly. But I do think it is a useful thing for especially for ICANN and the larger community to try to rally behind the definitions terminology.
I like to come in again.
Yes. Put myself before Dennis. As we see those guidelines 6, 11, etc., before the date when they are effective, is that they are encouraged to follow them anyway. If we say that 19 is not effective before that date, but you are encouraged to follow it anyway, then it's kind of meaningless because it's already just an encouragement. So I feel it's easier for the reader to have a smaller set, and 19 is meaningless to include. So that's why I suggest that 19 is removed. So, Dennis, please.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Dennis, for the record. So, Sana brought a good point, and I forgot about that. So, this working group have gone on record that 19 inclusive is going to be in the deferred list, if you will. So, it would not be seen with good eyes that we then we take a different approach in the final publication. So I think what I'm doing it, I'm fine keeping it that way.
Well, I find it meaningless because it's just an encouragement. There's no obligation. Let's continue
Edmund,
with the... yes, Edmund.
Just a quick comment. I guess, Matt, I hear you, and I, you know, really, actually, I don't disagree with you. But I think if, as Samar and Matt said, if we have been through this, if it's not substantive, then let's let it through. And then we have already agreed to add a particular note both to ICANN.org in our letter back to them, and also the posting of this document that we would, generally tell people that, you know, all, even those that are deferred for later, those are, you know, kind of good recommendations and so on. We'll find the right words, but with that, I think it should cover both myself and hopefully your concern.
So I think that we want to encourage the target group to follow all the guidelines as soon as possible. But this exception list, 6A, 11, etc., they're not bound to follow until the date. And if you look at those and you find 19, okay, what am I obligated to do? And the register operator looks at 19 and say they're obligated to be encouraged or what is it? So that's why I feel that even though we have said in an answer that 19 should be accepted, I think that it's probably a mistake from their side that they have overlooked that it only says encouragement. But let's... including or excluding a list makes no difference to the obligation on their side, but it makes it easier to read the list if there are fewer and less confusing if 19 is excluded. That's my point. But let's scroll down in the document under 6. Dennis has proposed some changes there.
Sorry for jumping in, but
yes,
this is Edmund, and I just want to make sure that Samad and Pitten understand your final conclusion of the matter just now. So we are keeping 19 in the list for now. And moving on, right? That's, you know, under B, and moving on, right?
So let's sure that... right. So the proposal is that we should remove 1.3 from the document, and instead having it as a meta document outside, stating that. Those guidelines are not effective until 12 extra months has passed after the guidelines themselves are effective. And during this 12-month period, those guidelines are just recommendations and not mandatory. And if you insist that 19 should be lifted there, I don't want to take a continued fight for that because it's meaningless and it's okay to have something meaningless. So can we agree on this? Removing from document and making it in a meta comment, a meta document outside, where it's stated that these guidelines have 12 extra months and during the transition or extra months, they are only encouragement or recommendation. You can just say yes or no. Satish, Edmund, Dennis.
This is Dennis. Just to remove in section, the new section 1.3 and put it on the release notes.
Edmund? Satish? Do you hear me, Satish?
Edmund,
do you hear me, Edmund?
Maybe you forgot to unmute.
No comments from me now.
I'm sorry. Satish? Edmund? I cannot hear neither Edmund.
I am on now. I missed the last 2 minutes or so. So.
Okay. You're on twice. Yes. So the proposed decision is that we remove 1.3 from the document and move the exception list of 6A, 11, etc. into a META document that states that these guidelines are only effective 12 months after the guidelines are effective, and during this the extra time they are only considered to be encouragement or recommendation. Are you fine with that, Edmund?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Thank you. And Satish?
That's fine.
Seems like
we.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Dennis, for making it clear that we should have a, or was it Edmund, that we should have a clear decision. So, scrolling down to 6A, Dennis has done some updates. Do you want to comment those?
This admin is jumping in. I'm good with 6A.
Yes, Max?
Yes. Do you want to comment anything, the change there?
Yeah, so it's a minor change just to move around the terminology. And right, yeah, we previously put RFC 7940 between parentheses, like, you know, it's an explanation. Actually, what we want registry operators to implement is the actual RFC. So it just moving the terms around. And remove also C additional note 1, because now that becomes moot since we're going to put all the effective dates in a different place. So as a result, okay, what we need to do later is to, if we remove section 1 from 2.8, we need to make sure that all the reference to additional notes are accurate.
Okay, so I think 6A is fine. Samad?
Yes, so just to reconfirm what Dennis was saying, we'll go back and we'll update the additional notes numbering so that it's fine with the note 1 now deleted. There's going to be just a minor additional edit. There's a in the title for RFC 7940, it says label generation rule set using XML. So we'll just add that there as well. Thank you.
Is the abbreviation LGR part of the name
No, it's not.
RFC.
So we'll
no,
fix
it's
that.
Not. So I think that LGR should then be afterwards in parentheses or something.
Okay.
So the term is there. Okay, let's go down to 7. Dennis has updated a little bit, adding an extra sentence. Or two.
Yeah, Max. Dennis.
3.
For the record. So the context is, I think we, ICOM board provided some feedback as to this document, and Carl some time ago had the action item to provide a revision to it, which he did on March 22nd. So I did incorporated the edits, but it's mainly Carl's recommendation.
I'm fine with the change in 7. Anyone want to say something, or can we accept it? Okay, let's go on.
I'm good
Edmund?
With it. I'm good with it. I'm looking at the red line and might just. Sorry, I'm not good at editing live, so there might be a couple of grammatical that I would suggest, but I'll do that on the mail list. I'm good with the content.
Okay. Samad?
Yeah, I was just thinking of the last sentence. It actually is obviously trying to explain what is meant by encourage to collaborate. I guess it's specifying it. However, I felt I guess the way it's written, it very concretely comes, it highlights a very significant negative, under no obligation to join or establish the communities described in this guideline. So, I just found that word a bit, that wording a bit strong. It's obviously otherwise clear, and I think the expectation that they're encouraged to collaborate is also reinforcing the same thing. So I was just thinking if it is needed to point that out so strongly. I just wanted to raise that for all of you to discuss. Thank you.
Dennis, what do you say about removing the last sentence?
I'm sorry, Matt, are we on 7 or 12?
Yes, 7. Still on 7. So removing the sentence, TLD registers will be under no obligation to join or establish the communities described in this guideline. It already starts by saying they are encouraged.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't feel strongly about it, so I'm fine.
So, Edmund Satish, are you fine with removing it?
Satish here. I am fine with removing the last sentence.
Yes, okay. And then it's, and Edmund too. Right?
Yep.
Okay, let's go down next page, number 12. And here we had a discussion on actually listing the languages where we have this practice, which is in, as far as I know, we have it in Chinese and some in Arabic, or was it Arabic script or Sarmad? No, it was not Arabic. Sarmad, please.
Well, so Arabic community is considering it, but the practice only exists for Chinese.
Okay. So we don't say anything here. I think that it would make sense to actually state here that this is an exceptional practice that is in Chinese language.
So
this
is Dennis for the
queue.
Edmund can go before me.
Edmund first, please.
Thank you. I don't feel strongly whether we add Chinese or not. I think we can add it as an example. This has been discussed, I think, a couple of times before. There are people who want to do that, but there are people who don't. I don't feel very strongly about it. I have a suggestion on the last sentence, though, minor edit, I think, but it would be more clear and correct. So I'll read it out. In such cases, the TLD registry must have mechanisms to limit automatic activation of ID and variant labels to a minimum, and cross out number and possible, especially possible number can stay there, but possible makes it strange. Minimum possible is always probably zero, depending on how you think about it, but that's the suggestion.
Dennis, please.
Yeah, so the edit here, just to give context, it's in response to comments, I believe, from DC, and we responded that we were going to look at what these exceptional cases are. And I recall, right, talking about these was added because of the practices in Chinese language. How the registry operators in that region activate automatically Binance. I wasn't sure whether to call out a single one, even it's just as an example, so that to be careful about sensitivity about other language communities and maybe having reactions against, and we alienate other language communities. So wanted to give an ample or maybe broader than we want it to be. But again, right, trying to move away from calling out the specific languages so that we don't create sensitivities or in other language communities. I think goes the same issue with the commingling of the scripts in the case of Japanese, right? And we don't call out Japanese specifically in those exceptions because there might be other as well. So I think goes along those lines. And finally, I agree with Edmond's edit on the last section of it.
So to take the last one first, I'm also fine with the proposal from Edmund to update that. And Satish, are you fine with that too?
Yes.
Thank you. I put myself in the queue here. I think it makes sense to list Chinese here, either as an example or rather that point out that this is where we have this practice. It has a number of effects. One is the reader shouldn't look for other places to find this this activity, and also to point out it as more exceptional than just exceptional, and having this special case of Chinese. I don't think it's a problem if we, I mean, it could be a problem for Chinese to be pointed out, but I see no problem for other language communities or script communities that Chinese is pointed out. And it really makes it easier to read it.
This is Edmund. I can add to this.
Yes, please, Edmund.
Yeah, thank you. I side with you, Matt, on this particular issue, and in fact, including with what Dennis just mentioned, I think it's probably a good idea to put Japanese back in there at the same in the same breath. So rather than, you know, a consistency is good, I agree, but in this case, I think we should consistently add it back. For both Chinese and Japanese. I think the JPRS also brought this up and said, you know, they wanted to be, you know, be put there. So I think for the reader, as Matt says, it's much more clearer and it's easier to, you know, we have tried to, you know, say so many things about it, but it's much easier to just point to an example and say, look at those.
We have to remember that the reader has not thought about IDN as much as we have, or most readers. So the proposal is that we should work in Chinese as the exception here, where automatic activation is used. We need a revised language here, of course. So, are you okay with that, Dennis? And Satish, are you okay with that?
Yep, sounds fine.
Yeah, this is Dennis. Yeah, so we are going to add specific examples as far as a language or for language communities and revise the last sentence. Good.
Yes. Okay, let's continue to next 15 and 16. Been adding of Unicode scripts. I don't know if I mean the Unicode Commons script is also considered to be a script as far as I know. And so the problem is there. I mean, all use a commingling of something and common, because the digits 0 to 9 plus hyphen, those are not defined as Latin. Those are defined as common. So I don't know if the wording there, but there is a term. I think it's explicit Unicode scripts that would exclude common and inherited. So I propose that for 15 and 16.
So
anyone?
Dennis,
please.
This is Sam, that I'd also like to come in the queue, please.
Yes. Dennis, please.
Yeah, Dennis, for the record. I think again, right, this, the changes on 15 and 16 was in response to EBRS comments and the use of Japanese. So without calling them out here, because when we were thinking about the exceptions cases of mixing skills, we immediately jumped to Japanese. So without or avoiding to reference Japanese, the only thing I thought of is to add the qualifier Unicode to the script, because the Japanese, as they pointed out, they treat Japanese as one single script, ISO script, if you will, but in the technical sense of Unicode, there are three different or four different, if you include Latin, in the mix of cases that they use in every day. So if we are going back to putting examples here, maybe we just don't need to qualify the script and say in the case of exceptions, or maybe both, right? Because one thing I think I remember, they, at least what I think, is that they didn't like the tone or the qualification of Japanese being an exception. So I don't know how to handle that, even though if we include Japanese here as an example.
Okay, Samad?
It's Edmund, if you can put me on the queue.
Yes, Samad and then Edmund, and then myself.
Thank you. So I think what I wanted to raise is partially been raised by Dennis. So I'm looking at Unicode scripts, and katakana and hiragana are listed explicitly as separate scripts, different, of course, from Han, which means that this will clearly put the Japanese case in the exception clause, which is number 16, if we use a Unicode scripts. And one of the, points which was raised by JPRS, and which we had actually in our response to the public comments suggested we will address, is say that we will not call the Japanese case as an exception, quote-unquote, but perhaps address it in some other way, even though the confusability issues obviously remain applicable. So based on that, I guess the current changes are still not all the way there, at least what we've actually suggested or discussed earlier. Thank you.
Edmund, and then after that, myself.
Yeah, so I think we, again, similar to my earlier comment, I think we should add Japanese back to it. I think I'm not sure what Dennis meant by the Japanese tone. My feeling was that they were actually hoping to add themselves back as a kind of the exception, to make it clear that their mixing is acceptable. So I think that's should be added back. In terms of Unicode scripts, I don't have a strong opinion. The first line actually says Unicode script. I think for 15, having both Unicode script is fine. For 16, I'm not so sure, but I don't have a very strong opinion. I'm just thinking through a lot of different languages, Korean, Japanese, Chinese, for example, do mix with the alphanumeric characters, and in all three languages, the alphanumeric letters are really well baked into the modern language already. So whether Unicode is added in there, I don't really have a strong opinion, but probably without is actually better. But that's my view.
Yes, it's me in the queue. We have at least three languages that regularly mix or commingling explicit Unicode scripts, Japanese, Chinese, and Korean. I don't know if there are other examples. I think that we should list these. We haven't, in PDT testing, we haven't seen anything else. Okay. So we have only seen Japanese, Chinese, and Korean. And hardly Korean, actually. We should list those three languages, I think. I think it's good that we talk about Unicode scripts. But it's a problem if we talk about multiple Unicode scripts, because a Spanish table actually contains two Unicode scripts. It contains Latin, and it contains Common. So we need a qualifier to exclude Common and Inherited, because those are separate scripts in a Unicode sense. Anyone?
This is Edmund.
So,
if I can.
Yes.
I think it probably makes sense, Mats, and maybe I can encourage you to come up with your suggestion on the edit, unless Dennis has a very strong opinion in this, but it seems like you have a clearer idea how this should be presented, but I think we are on the same page generally.
So, okay, my proposal is then that we do an update on 15 and list the languages. We do an update on 15 and 16 to qualify that we're excluding Common and Inherited when we talk about Unicode scripts. And I volunteer to do a propose an update on that.
This is Sarmad. Satish? I'd like to get in the queue.
Okay, Sarmad, please.
Okay, so I'm actually looking at this document. It's part of the Unicode data. It's called scripts.txt, which actually lists the script names for each of the code points in Unicode. And I'm actually looking at Inherited. And Inherited has a wide variety of things in it. Most of them are MN, which are marks, which means they will be likely IDNAP valid. And they are things like Cyrillic marks, Arabic marks, Devanagari marks, Vedic tone marks. So they're all inherited. So it seems like we can't just ignore them, because if you say nothing or exclude them from this analysis, then it may the, you know, it could be concluded that it is okay to mix these things. For inherited, I'm also now looking at Common, and Common has also things like Arabic comma and Arabic question mark and Vedic signs, and so it also has some of these things which are somehow in the name of the code point, at least, dependent on the script, even though they are not generally, obviously, have a script associated with them and are under the Common kind of script name. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think maybe you misunderstood me, because in 15 we talk about that we shouldn't, it actually states in the beginning that all code points in a single label must be taken from the same Unicode script. And and almost all IBM tables permit that Common and some other script is used for the label. So almost all IBM tables permit the mixing of Unicode scripts. And that's why I wanted to kind of make Common Inherited as special.
Right. This is Amar. Just to respond to that, what I was actually going to suggest was that I think if we bring Common and Inherited out explicitly, this will complicate. This may actually complicate things just because of the reasons I suggested, and therefore, what I was trying to imply was that we need to then handle it just carefully, that we don't over allow things in case we have that statement to allow mixing.
Yes. So that's a good point, Sarmat. But at the same time, as we stated now, it's not working. So I suggest a new language for 15 and 16, and I will take your comments here into consideration. Is that fine for Satish?
No comments from me. It's fine.
Thank you. So, do you have time for 10 more minutes? Anyone needs to go now? We're over the hour.
Edmund, I will need to leave shortly.
Okay, so we have two more to look at. So I thought that we might have time to look at those two. So we see in 17, Dennis has added another reference. So I think that looks fine. Sarmad dropped off. Yes, Dennis.
Yeah, so just again, context on the update on 17 is based on our response to in the public comments.
Yeah, so that's fine. And then we have the last, the additional note, one, which is just to be removed, right?
This again is that's correct. Now that we are going to move all
yes.
effective dates, that will be removed, and then we need to update, revise the reference in the document.
Yeah. So, okay. So then we have gone through it. We have an action point on me to update propose language for 15 and 16. Dennis, will you do on 12 or? Well, that was me too, I guess. Yes. So that's it. Okay. It's 8 minutes past 12 o'clock UTC. Anyone want to say something before we close the meeting? So, Bob, you are there again, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Okay, and Peter, you have been there all the time?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for today. Talk to you next week. And thank you for participating.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.